So, welcome back. So this morning I would like to speak about two areas. First one really as a response to a query in one of the notes. So I just want to spend maybe just some minutes of clarifying a little bit some terminologies. So I've been asked, As I remember it now, it's like, can you say a little bit more about heart mind? What do you mean by this? You know, the heart mind is resonating. And in the Buddhist scripture, we have the term citta, which really is translated or can be translated as heart mind. And it covers our ability to be aware, being conscious, and our sensitivity. So it includes both the knowing mind, one could say, and our sensitivity and receptivity. So heart mind has both these components. The felt sense of an experience, and the knowing of experience in our awareness. Hope it makes sense. So this is what resonates, what shivers, what is receptive, that is this part of our being, again, part of our being. It's tricky with language. Our ability to be sensitive to suggestions, intentions, images, perceptions. You know, we're giving images, breathing like a mountain. You know, and one can see how it will resonate with us in a particular way. Steady, mountain, steady, flower, freshness. So the mind-heart is that, so to say, it's the resonance, it's my language, the resonance of the instrument. This is what is affected. It's responsive, picks up. It's not analytical. It's not analytical. So the heart-mind is not judging or controlling, but it's resonating. Can sympathize, it has a capability of empathy, has a capacity to attune. It is curious, malleable, flexible, perceptive. And we can see whatever we experience, these very words, the sound of the crows, of the rooks outside, whatever it is, will stimulate a response in the heart mind. It's like, you know, sometimes I use also this image, which is quite commonly used. It's like there's a still pond and then there are pebbles thrown in and we can feel the resonance. And we also emphasized in this retreat, maybe at least to some extent, you know, with bringing the awareness down, to really emphasize to come into the body, because the body, and I think actually a better way of naming it, the field of awareness we call our body, like rather the body, yeah, is picking up what is happening in the heart mind. This is where we can sense it. Yeah, it's not just that we think it here. Yeah. So the awareness of the body makes us sensitive to see how the heart mind, the citta, is shaped, is resonating, not resonating, closing down, opening, and so forth. And our heart minds will have well-established patterns, shapes, responses, and resonances. We will have a certain bandwidth. And one could say through practice, we see them and we also really widen the scope of what is possible. Yeah, we can, some image I use a lot, we can learn to play our instruments in different resonances. Yeah. And also heart mind is capable of waking up, of expansion, of intuitive understanding. This is where we know happiness, this is where we know suffering. And again, I'm doing it for those who sit maybe a little bit further away or at home. I'm making movements here when I say knowing. I don't make it, we know. Knowing actually includes body, the whole body, belly, heart, mind. So citta is not an entity. It's not located somewhere. Yeah, it's a way of relating to our awareness, one could say. And it's very changeable, it's extremely malleable, it's extremely pliable, soft, workable. And this is what we are working with in practice. I hope this clarifies a little bit. Does it? So don't look for the heart mind. Maybe if you could just, this is what we did last year, if you just ring the bell and I'm going into something slightly different. Thank you. So I want to pick up and revisit certain things which we have mentioned already. And maybe go in slightly different, explore that same a little bit further. Suffering. Yeah. So one could say one ingredient of suffering is, and then again, this we can sense in our heart mind, yeah, that it tends to isolate. That if there is suffering in our being, it tends to increase a sense of separation and even alienation. Comes together, so there's I'm not. So how do we know this? So we resonate in this way, we can feel it. And this sense of separation can have, of course, like a whole wide range of particular flavors can be felt to many, many different degrees and on many, many, many levels. So an ingredient of suffering is that it strengthens the sense, to whatever degree, of being a separate existing self amongst other separate existing others, whatever other is, whatever other is in this moment. And this could be parts of our inner life. Yeah. Being born into this human body, being born into a body, with it comes that at times we will experience pain. That's unavoidable. You know, physical ill health, mental suffering, and. With the contractions that comes often with it, because we are struggling with this experience, yeah? Through the experience of pain, you know, in our relating then to it, you know, and really to hold this with as much kindness and compassion and understanding as possible. We want to see what is happening. We actually also increase the sense of of loneliness, of being on our own with it. You know, even being cast out of not belonging. Do you recognize this a little bit? Yeah. So we are adding additional pain to an already really challenging experience. You know, walls of separations are being built up, fortified, strengthened. Not to make this wrong, but to see this. When we are tired, even when we are tired, we become a little bit denser. We become a little bit more separate, you know. Again, to really take this word with a lot of creativity. So contractions of fear, of hate, of anger, of guilt, of shame, of feeling rejected, of not being good enough, any movement of struggling with our experience, any movement of aversion, wishing things to go away, grasping, wishing things to be different, any movement will somehow, sometimes ever so subtle, the perception, the strength that we are somehow a separate existing entity. Yeah. And this can be very subtle. And it's so interesting to explore this. It is really interesting to explore this rather than, oh God. Yeah. It's really interesting to see also how it shifts and changes. And we can so, in our practice, you know, we can discover so much. You know, how we have narratives which separate us, how we have self-identities which separate us, and also vice versa, which connect us more. So each moment that is of wishing things to be different, being somehow separated of how we want it to be, is a movement of separation. So we can see this, but equally what we can also see in our practice, that there can be these moments when we are really getting very intimate with something, very close. Very, very curious, yeah, close, intimate. And this can feel so exquisite, can feel so yummy. You know, sometimes when you feel really intimate with a breath, or intimate with the tenderness of the heart, or intimate with this moment of being held by the earth, you know, there is a sense of closeness, of connection that can feel really, really nourishing. We can also see in our practice at times a deeply felt sense of profound connection. And also again here, so I'm really mentioning several things just shortly, there's a lot to explore here. So sometimes in practice we can felt a deep sense of profound connection. You know, I would assume, Dean, when you looked at the daffodil yesterday, you know, there was something like this. You know, there was a coming down of walls of separation in this moment, being touched. Yeah. And this is not necessarily about merging. You know, there can be a fullness, a kind of aloneness with something in deep connection which is not lonely, but it's complete and sensitive, attentive, connected, open, receptive. And sometimes we can also perceive as if we are one. Yeah. So again, to have intelligence there are different expressions of this. Connection doesn't mean that we just merge. Yeah. So yesterday we also said there's pain, there's suffering, and then there's suffering coming along, and then how we relate to it will be color, shape, how we see ourselves, others, and the world. Hate, anger, fear shaping how we perceive in this moment ourselves, others and the world. And if we don't see that this is happening, then we take this is all repeat, actually this is how the world is, exclamation marks, this is how it is. And then we can be in a very tight world, in a very unforgiving world, we can find ourselves. A world is where we are against the rest of it, you know, in all its different permutation. A not good enough world, you know, which is swirling around a self that is caught in the story, for example, of not being good enough. And so easily we take this and then we weave a world as if this were a trustworthy statement about how things are. We weave a world and then we create a world accordingly to it. And then we have all these qualities, you know, Dean, Nathan, I speak about endlessly, compassion, kindness and equanimity. And we could say all these qualities, what they bring with them is a lessening of separation, is a bringing down, it's a thinning of walls of separation. Also these perceptions will shape how we see the world. Yeah? With the walls of separation coming down or getting thinner or getting undermined, we may also discover that qualities of not only that the very view of compassion is already shaping in a particular way, but actually with this softening of separation, also the wind, so to say, of compassion care can blow more easily. It can blow more easily. We are not pretending then the world is good. You know, we are not pretending, you know, that everything is great, because it isn't. It's a lot of suffering. But we are cultivating ways of relating that are onward leading, opening up possibilities, widening perspectives, widening of what is possible. The contractions of fear, anxiety, of hate, of anger, they are not opening up, they are limiting. They are not onward leading, you know. Does it make sense? And it's something, when I say this, it's really, ideally, I would like to some extent that you can feel it resonate in your heart mind rather than just thinking about it. You know, this is where we can really learn. Yeah. Oh yeah, I can sense this. Hmm. I'm stuck here. Yeah. So basic to most traditions, spiritual tradition, is a recognition that we are not separate, isolated entities, but integral and organic parts, one way of looking at it, vast web of life. And this is not how we trained to see ourselves anymore. Yeah? This is not what is reflected back to us. We have to look after ourselves. Yeah. And. So Thich Nhat Hanh, one of the things he said which I took along with me is that we are here to awaken from our illusion of separateness. And maybe if you hear this, see also maybe the tendency to immediately create a polarity, separate, not separate. I'm either separate or I'm not separate. Bad, good. Yeah, and. Creating two poles, this one is desire, the other is rejected. Both poles, you know, and I really had this image, like smothered, completely, smothered with assumption, ideas and opinions. Yeah, how we should be, how I shouldn't be, how it will look like when I'm not connected, or how it will look like when I'm whatever. Yeah, letting go of this, but to really explore this territory with the intelligence of the heart mind. You know, and we can sometimes ask, like right now, where does actually a sense of separation end and non-separation start? You know, where is the cutoff point? Can see it's actually, it's fluid. Maybe, just give it a try. So just maybe play along with it, and very, very lightly, playfully, making contact with yourself. Don't have to go into a formal practice, and then finding your way, open your eyes, have a look around, take others in. Playful, don't believe it. Just one sense what happens to the heart mind. You have to believe it some, you have to step with some confidence into it. Opening your eyes, taking each other in, as competitors on the path of awakening. I wonder, they are probably further ahead. They are definitely behind me. You know, you're laughing, but it happens, isn't it? Don't we do this, you know? And what does it do in terms of separation? This is a plua wave. I want to be a plua wave. Yeah. It's a very light playing, and we do this all the time, you know, to some extent. Closing your eyes, letting this drop. Maybe feeling the resonance of this perception of heart mind and how we might come into the hall like now. So letting this drop. And then in your own way, again, opening your eyes, or even like in your inner eye, perceiving and seeing each other, including those at home, as friends on the path. Oh, that's what we share, you know. There's this beautiful tradition, I think, especially in the Thai tradition, you know, where the teacher would welcome the Sangha to say, "Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, in aging, in sickness, in death." Yeah, so it's like this joined in our humanity. Now our humanity. Here we are, shared humanity. Oh, you are such a particular wave. Hello. And again, seeing what's happening here. Again, we don't make a statement. Doesn't mean to see each other that you have to move in with each other, that you have to agree with each other. But you see something that is connecting, seeing the separation, letting the separation go to some extent. None of it, of this very slight playing, makes a statement about how it is, but we choose how we place ourselves. Does it make sense what I'm trying to do here? Yeah. So, and I want to now, like if you want, please put this aside. Can you just... And pick up a little bit of this in a guided compassion meditation. So taking your seat again. And here again we can sometimes play with, I'm sitting down on an unforgiving earth of competition, or I'm sitting down on the body earth I belong to. Two different perceptions will make a huge difference. So closing your eyes if you wish, again by letting yourself be welcomed by earth, by breath, by space. Giving yourself to the holding of ground below. Allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to relax, to soften, to melt into this holding of earth. Maybe picking up of the images we used yesterday after lunch. Opening up to the tidal flow of in-breath and out-breath breathing you. Letting the breath pass through you, touch every cell of your body. Let the breath caress your being, your heart, your belly, every cell. Nothing else to do right now than this invitation to open to the holding of breath, of earth, of space. Simplifying. Putting down any unnecessary complexity. If you wish, let the following contemplation resonate with you. And again, if it doesn't, no worry. Don't worry, but making maybe your heart mind receptive and see the ripples that are rippling out from this contemplation. So it's a sensing rather than an analytical thinking about. If I'm indeed not a separate, isolated entity, integral to the vast web of life, maybe then I'm also not a separate object that can break when it opens up to the pain of my pain and the pain of the world. What if I see myself as a unique, tender, yet resilient pattern arising moment by moment within a vaster web of knowing? With a vaster web of responding. not something isolated that can be shattered or be isolated by the expressions of pain and suffering. That are also arising. And coming back to the breath, letting it touch you with its unconditional offering as it passes through you. Acknowledging that the breath, in a very direct way, is connecting you in deep time, in deep space, to all of life, this very moment. As we mentioned in the earth touching yesterday, this in-breath, this out-breath, connecting you in a straight line to the first oxygen-producing bacteria 700 million years ago. And without losing maybe any degree of connection in this way, also maybe zooming lightly a little bit into your unique experience right now, your emotional pattern, any pains and sufferings, any joys and delights. Knowing that whatever is arising for you right now, something similar is arising for millions of others. This misery, this grief, this anger, this joy, this delight. Breathing through it, acknowledging it as a shared experience, not dismissing your experience, but placing it into this vaster web of life. There's no image or feelings that are here, and there's nothing there, maybe it feels quite numb or grey. Also, this is shared, it's a real part, experienced possibility of the heart mind arising, shared. Known. Feeling of stuckness, feeling of possibility. Nothing whatsoever that is arising right now is not known, has not been known. Or won't be known by so many others. And holding your pain, it's more on the difficult side, also on behalf for all these others. So if your anguish, your despair, is an expression of the pain of the world arising in you, right now. And playing very lightly with these different ways of holding, attending to. And with the in-breath acknowledging, and with the out-breath offering the possibility of release. The out-breath offering the wish that this suffering may end, may liberate itself, finding your own rhythm, your own way. Might so many millions of people right now who hold this different particular anxiety, you are also holding anguish. They might not be even aware, so you can offer your awareness of it and also the capacity to invite relief, the possibility to invite relief. For yourself and the many others going through something similar. And if your being is resonating more in qualities of kindness, compassion, and joy, breathing in, acknowledging that there are others who rejoice similarly right now, and with the out-breath, offering it to all. your restless mind, your bored mind, your confused mind, shared, known by so many others. Breathing through releasing for your own sake and for all souls who go through something similar. Breathing in for yourself and all of us. Breathing out for yourself and all of us. With each breath, breathed in this way. Oops. Placing our suffering, our pain, and our choice, our delights, into a bigger field. To a more encompassing context. Maybe see if you can sense that this placing it in this way, in a bigger picture, can you sense what it does to the degree of suffering, if there's any? Sensing, not thinking about it necessarily, sensing. Maybe even considering if it is arising now or any time, that even in your feeling of loneliness, of not belonging, feeling alienated, separated, you are not alone, shared by so many, known by so many. Right now, when you are experiencing it. Thank you for your practice. Again, if this works for you, you know, if you could resonate with it, great. And if it didn't, no worries. You won't be alone with it. And it might be obvious, but I still want to spell it out. This placing ourselves, or this is shared, to be sensitive and receptive. If this gets colored by, don't complain, others have it also. That's not what it is about. Or don't whinge around, others will have it worse. Then we go into in comparing. It's actually, oh, here we are, in this together. And I bow to you, my sister, my brother. You know, human, non-humans. So this is really this intention. It's not about, you know, competition. here and at home, time for walking, standing, breathing, enjoying the last full day together, giving yourself as fully, as generously as you can. See, when the mind wanders to its end, we're getting more notes about what next. What next is not here yet. We will attend to it tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes, isn't it?
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.